Fakakta Comedy Funhouse Network.
Everybody, it's The Voice here in Drunken Lullaby Studios. It's a beautiful Sunday. We're glad you're here with us. And finally, Beer Mansky has come back to Drunken Lullabies.
I'm back from my hiatus.
I'm glad.
Far too long.
How did you get out of the cult?
Out of the cult?
Yeah, you were up in the Twin Cities, becoming one with the orb. You'd left Ashley at home. You don't remember any of this? Did they wipe your mind?
Is this a reference to a movie?
You went missing New Year's Eve.
Oh.
Dressed as Baby New Year with the Bourbon County. And then we've been trying to track you down this whole time.
Oh, that's right.
I think they... I don't know if he should be drinking. If he can't even remember the past month and a half.
I don't remember. I blanked out.
Okay.
It went dark. I'm not really sure what happened.
Everything's okay at home now with the wife?
As far as I know.
Okay.
I'm a little sore in some areas, but I'm good besides that.
All right. Well, we're glad you're here drinking with us again. As Aaron Lewis would say, it's been a while.
It's been a while.
All right. Well, this episode, as every episode, is brought to you by Distill Brewery. Distill Brewery was founded in Bloomington, Illinois, and has been boycotting Bland since 2013. Their hard work and craftsmanship has led to a wide array of beers that are anything but bland. From their Wild Sour line to the barrel-aged St. Decara series, Distill's award-winning beers include something for everyone. With options like Weisenheimer, Vertex IPA, Syncopathic, and Dos Vidania, Distill doesn't disappoint. So we here at Drunken Lullabies encourage you to boycott Bland alongside us. Support flavor. Drink Distill. Available in 16 great states across our fine country. So look for Distill at your grocer's beer section or whatever. Isn't that what they always say it
local
on ads?
Store.
Like, you can find it in your grocer's freezer section, but you're not going to find Distill in the freezer.
Where alcohol is sold.
Yes. All right. Well, our show has our own drinking game, so you drunkomaniacs at home can get drunk along with us. So anytime somebody swears, anytime somebody makes a pop culture reference or an impression, anytime somebody has an audible expulsion of gas, and I'm going to include cough this episode because my throat is a little raspy, so I'll probably be clearing my throat and coughing.
Idea.
So we're going to add that for the week. And anytime somebody says the word of the day, you have to take a drink. And we're going to make the word of the day homebrew.
Okay.
You'll find out why in a second. Let's welcome in our guests for the week. Returning, he's been here more times this year than Beer Mansky, making his second appearance. Last time you heard him get drunk on an episode with Garrett from Planes Mistaken for Stars and Gangsta Nick. It is the one, the only Pusha Man himself, Mr. Jared Grab. Welcome back.
Hey there.
All right. He's dressed all in black. He literally is back in black.
Mm-hmm.
Looking like Johnny Cash, but alive.
Till things are brighter.
Yeah. And another returning guest making his third appearance on the show. It's been a little while since we last hung out with him. It's his first visit to Drunken Lullaby Studios. It was a bit much for him to take in at first, but I think he's getting acclimated, and we're going to drink some of this gentleman's beer. I'm talking about
some of his homebrew.
Some of his homebrew, yes. I'm talking about brewmaster Brian Buss from Busted Brewing. Welcome back, Brian.
Thank you for having me again. As I sit in this room, I wonder the state of mind I would be in if I woke up from a night of drinking and saw everything in here.
It's a lot to take in.
It is.
I like it.
But I can dig it.
Yeah. Can you dig it?
I can.
We can dig it.
Except for that picture of Captain Spaulding up there.
What's wrong with
that? That may send me over the edge.
Okay. I don't like clowns either, but yeah. He's okay. That's I mean, cool. He signed it Shit the Bed. That's kind of fun. That's so perfect. All right. Well, it's time for us to play our drinking game, a game we like to call Spin the Bottle.
Beer makes us fired up, so come on, drink it all night long. Slam it, girl. 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 Where's the marching band at? Pound that beer. Beer. Don't grow wild, no, pound that beer. Pound that beer, pound that beer. Don't grow wild, no, pound that beer.
Bubble on back to the bottle. All right, Freckles is going to spin the bottle. Who is going to be drinking?
That would be you. I think it looks like you.
Really? God damn it. All right, Jared, I guess you can record me. Joy. All right.
Oh, Odell.
Yes. Available now in Illinois, and very stoked about it. This is the first time we're featuring them on the show
probably
since.
The freshest we'll ever get it, too.
It's Fort Collins, Colorado, Odell Brewing. A drumroll fills you with anticipation, much like the notes in this American Pale Ale. Each year, we select the rock star hops of the harvest to craft this bold, juicy, tropically hop-forward brew, drumming up a citrus-inspired rhythm for what's to come. What's about to come is a chug that takes about 2% longer than it should, but I've been told I'm not that bad at it compared to what I used to be.
Same thing my wife said. Oh. Yeah, she said the same thing.
About chugging?
Oh, never mind.
Okay. I get a little head there of the back end. Okay, so drum roll. And away we go.
Wow. You are getting better. A little bit. It's still hard to watch. Good work.
Yeah. Slow clap and everything, 80s style. And, so yeah, thanks, Odell. Probably should have taken that out of the fridge
that?
A little. I didn't really taste much.
I always forget. When I chugged the other day, I always forget, you know, the whole let it warm up a little. So I took the can and, like, put it in front of my space heater for, like, a minute or two to try and warm it up.
Space heater? That'd be warm.
Yeah, but it was just a bad idea.
Yeah, sounds like
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it was not a smart idea.
All right, so thanks, Freckles, for making me chug. Appreciate it.
Can we drink beer now?
Yeah, we can all drink beer now.
Thank goodness.
Our first beer.
Tease me. Just sitting there.
Brian, tell us what we are drinking, because all the beers are made by you. So I have nothing to look up, and I'm just going to let come straight from the source.
So the first beer we're going to go is Round Table Saison. It's pretty traditional Saison style, low in alcohol. It's maybe a little over 5.2%. Pretty dry, pretty fruity. Just your all-around typical.
There we go.
That was a good one.
That was a good one.
Just kind of a very crushable Saison.
Are we allowed to drink it since we're at a square table?
We are, yes.
Just want
to I'll be
sure.
The first to admit I have very little creativity when it comes to doing names. So
does Jeff at Narrow Gauge. That's why he just calls
them
numbers.
It almost has like a slight wine kind of smell to it, like a white wine.
It's I definitely let
wow,
it, I definitely let it get up there as far as fermentation temperature goes. Because Saisons can typically handle the higher temps.
But now what causes that they can handle that?
Well, it's the genetics in the strain. Like if
like a yeast strain or something?
Yeah, like a Saison DuPont. Actually, that I'm using the Saison DuPont strain in this beer, it's designed to be able to go much higher, give those fruitier Belgian esters out of it.
So that's what gives those, when you get it to the higher...
Kind of stresses it out, pushes it to the limit, but it also allows it to ferment out pretty dry.
Because I'm definitely getting some of that, like, clove kind of banana.
Yeah, it's not
like,
stressing me
flavor,
out.
But, like, not overwhelming.
Yeah,
some
it shouldn't be.
Yeah, I say some beers that have too much, like, I don't mind it when it's light. It's when it's, like, the real strong in your face Belgian flavor. This, like you said, is one that, like,
I love
summer,
Belgians, so.
It's good for that, too, then.
Yeah, this one I controlled the temperature for the first few days of fermentation a lot, let it get too out of hand, and then after about 2 days, you're kind of out of that danger zone, so I turned my space heater up in my brewery as high as it would go, and. Just let it ferment out. Probably it got up close to 90 degrees before it finished out.
Do you make this in the summer a lot? I feel like this would be a good one. Just
this is actually...
I could sit and drink this like all day, because some beers get a little cloying. Even IPAs sometimes. it's real hot, but this almost tastes like refreshing.
So this would be a beer that I probably would brew more in the summertime. It's actually kind of a first go at a new recipe that I came up with. Very basic recipe, just a blend of base malts and a little bit of Belgian malt to go on top of it.
You're saying you wanted to tweak something about it? I think it tastes really good.
That's maybe I'm overly critical, as I am with all the beers that I make. I always think they can be better. There is a bit of an astringency in there that most people have told me they don't mind. Again, I might just be being overcritical about it, but I think overall it turned out pretty well.
Like
I said, 5.2%. One of my favorite saisons in the world is Saison de Lee from Perennial.
Mm.
To me, that's one of the gold standards.
On tap now at the Flask.
It's like a white label with a little flower on it, right? It's like a year-round available.
It's a year-round, but to me, that beer is just everything. Like, it's so simple. It's not flashy, but it's good. I can drink a lot of it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, like I said, next to Saison DuPont, it's the gold standard.
So. It's been on tap for a while.
I think it's...
Fox. It's probably close to going. Yeah.
I was talking to somebody the other day about part of the problem with like perennial stuff is like everybody wants to get all like, you know, all the their whales, so to speak, like the Abraxas and the Sump and the 17, but like it seems like a lot of people don't like try or, you know, buy their regular stuff as more.
I'm the exact opposite. I'm not out there trying to get the Sump. I've had Sump before, and those aren't the beers I go for. So it's like I've had it. I'm okay if I don't have it again, but you know. That's just my opinion. So I'm more prone to try their other beers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm kind of
They're a very underrated brewery because like the Abraxas and the Sump, like Saison de Lee and Vermilion and...
They got Merriweather's, a regular one.
Yeah, that's a really good beer. I mean,
that Peach Berliner that they come out with.
Yeah, I definitely
like Saison de Lee is pretty good.
They did an IPA that they aged with Ashwood that I thought was really good.
It was called
Homefront IPA.
We had a perennial IPA.
It was a 750?
It was a 750. It was done a few years ago.
Yeah.
And...
I guess it was a
really good
White
beer.
White Impala.
That's one of their IPAs. We had that at the Fox, and that was really, really good. Because they don't really do tons of IPAs. So
I've never tried this Sump yet, but I really want to try this Sump because I love Sump's coffee, and they that coffee shop does an amazing job. So I really need to find a way to try the Sump perennial.
Well, depending upon where you live, it could be a shelf turd.
Well, Poor Brothers has it on right now.
And they do?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, there you go.
I heard it left Friar Tuck's very quickly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Doesn't even see the shelf.
Right.
And that's where even I miss out on so many beers because, like, I something will come across the page and in about a half hour it's all gone because people have left, gone to Friar Tuck's.
I work across the street and I know that was so... heartbreaking at times. It's like, oh, it's now Tuck, and I'm like, but I can't go. I'm stuck here, and it's literally I could look out and see it, and I know it's there, but I can't go. And then it's all gone.
My problem is my drive is like 30 minutes to get there. But my boss one day, I was like, this beer came out. I don't know if I want to go or not. He's like, go now, go get it.
I probably could. I mean, I've got a pretty good work schedule and anything like that. I probably could leave, but. The other question is, do I want to leave?
Well,
go get a beer.
Right.
Well, that's how I feel sometimes. I'm driving all this way, and, like, I did it one day, and I got there, and I know they, like, still had some. The guy's like, oh, we just sold our last one.
Yeah.
And I'm like, I just called you before I came up here, and you said you had a few, but I'm like, whatever, you know, I don't care. But that's why it's like...
Those good beers...
Why chase this?
Yeah, you know? Those bigger beers, I mean, obviously, they're really good. They can charge a premium and get it, but it's like, it puts it up on such a pedestal... that other breweries can't live up to it. That if they don't put out something equivalent, well, screw them. And that's, I don't know. I don't agree with that. You know, I think if you got a good beer, you got a good beer, you know, like Saison de Lee. It's all year round. I can get it whenever I want it.
Mm-hmm. You know? I'm with you.
Well, what are we all drinking out of today? We haven't done that yet. Jared, what glasses did you select this week?
I need a picture.
I'm drinking out of the hometown glasses here today. So I got Peoria Brewing Company and I got Revolution Brewing out of Chicago.
Excellent choices.
So is this like a separate glass for each beer then, or?
We just...
However you want to do it.
We double fist on the show a
lot.
Some
people can't finish their beer. They're talking a lot.
I can definitely appreciate that.
I'm drinking out of a white oak glass with my white oak shirt and my white oak hat, so... And I also have a robbing glass in case I need another glass, which I probably won't, so... But hey.
I'm also drinking out of a nice white oak Belgian stem glass.
Showing white oak some love today.
This is kind of a speedy type or whatever.
You know what? I like that one better than every one of them else because it's thick. Like, it's an actual sturdy glass like those other ones like that crystal. Are like...
Yeah.
Yeah, I
have
like
one crystal one glass at home that I acquired from Perennial at one of the releases.
Acquired. That means 500
discount.
I almost
don't like... I almost don't like using it. It's one of those where you can, like, flick it and it's like... Ding!
Yeah.
It's so thin, and I'm like, if I bump this when I'm washing it or in the washer or something, there's just going to be thin glass everywhere.
I had a friend of mine buy one of the Dogfish Head ones when they first came out, and he broke it within 2 weeks.
Yeah, I got one, and I rarely use it, you know, because they are so thin. I have about as sturdy a mug as you can get.
I like the white one like, just because it's thicker,
it's thick,
more girth. I don't feel like if I squeeze it too hard, I'm going to break it.
Yeah.
I know what you mean.
Yeah. I went with my Drunken Lullabies The Voice mug that I got for Christmas. Felt I should break that one out. And then I have a pint glass from Tight Head, which just had
a tap
takeover at work. They're awesome available here again. We had the Bears...
Bears Choice
was 2 days old.
Yeah, it lasted literally, I think, 3 hours.
I have a dumb question about that. When did they leave?
That's kind of the thing I thought. I didn't realize it did. Some of it you still see on the shelves.
Between distributors, I think. They were going between distributors.
Yeah, there was a distributor that closed down, and then... So they're just back in the market now.
So it was still on shelves. It's just you couldn't really.
It wasn't fresh.
You weren't getting anything for a little while. Yeah,
it left shortly after I started the Fox, which was a year ago. It was something like between 6 and 9 months ago.
I swear I've seen the Irie IPA, you know, and some of those beers still around. But again, you may just assume they're fresh and they could have been sitting there a while.
Yeah,
sure.
I was definitely very sad when they left the market. So it was awesome to have them back and do it. And then to have a takeover at Fox and have just...
And the owner was there.
Try all of it and whatnot.
I had their Doppelbach, which I thought was really
I drank
really
that
good.
One too.
Yep.
Reformator, something like that.
Yep. The Reformator.
I don't know. I was want to call it a Transformer. what's our next beer today, Brian?
So this one's kind of a new experiment of mine.
Uh-oh.
This is probably 5 days old. It is a dry hopped coffee pale ale.
Now, hold on. Mm-hmm. You just bought this from Treehouse.
I did not.
You're not going to fool us. We know what we're doing. That's clearly a growler from Treehouse, and you're just going to try to play it off here.
And I will never question your eyesight, however. If you leave a growler at my house, it tends to get used.
Hambone.
Do you want some more? I got some Hill Farmstead ones if you'd like them.
I would never say no.
All right.
And if you actually give me an extra one, it may come back with something in it.
All right. Fun.
Good deal.
I can do that.
It's going to be dishwater.
Because I've had them. I didn't want to throw them out. I'm like, I can't throw these out. They're cool.
Yeah.
But, you know. I have a couple of the same
Treehouse ones over there from when Hambone left some behind, and it seems like he did the same thing at Mr. Buss's place. So.
Yeah, he had about a 9-day-old Julius in here.
Nice.
But yeah, this is kind of, I dig coffee and beers.
I haven't had a coffee IPA yet. I've only had... I'm excited to try this.
So this is kind
of... It's
called
a coffee IPA.
My bad.
So this is kind of a precursor to a bigger beer that I want to make. If anybody ever had Dayman from Stone...
Dayman.
Is that an Always Sunny reference? That's what I was wondering when you said
Fighter
that.
Fighter of the Night, man.
Yep. So
was the beer really a reference to that, though?
I think it was.
That's amazing. I want it.
Well, so it was a collaboration with Ale Man out of Chicago.
Okay.
And with Stone. Now... That chose in Philadelphia. Maybe they made a direct relation to it. I'm not sure.
I hope so.
This one, and again, more just because I did coffee beers, me and my wife.
Yeah.
And it
Who
just.
Doesn't?
Especially this winter, man. This winter, I want everything to have coffee in it.
I love.
So this is another, low alcohol, probably 5.5%.
Okay. And it's just a pale ale.
It's a pale ale that's been dry hopped with Cascade hops. And then I did a. a 24-hour cold brew with just some Hy-V coffee that I had just to kind of experiment and see how it would work. And I think it turned out pretty well. The coffee is not acidic, but there is a bit of a bite to it because it was a medium dark roast. I'll probably go a little bit lighter next time. But it was just what I had sitting around the house, so...
Freckles likes coffee. I don't drink coffee. I think I'm the only one here that doesn't drink coffee.
I'm not a... I don't drink coffee every day like most people, but I worked in a coffee shop for 3 years, so I definitely...
30-30?
I enjoy coffee.
I like coffee. Like, I'll drink sometimes, but when I drink it, I can't drink a lot like some people either. Like, I
definitely smell the hint of coffee there on the nose, which is just, you know, you look at it, and it's a very lightly colored beer.
Yeah, it's not a golden stout like people, you know.
That's good. It's subtle. Speaking of golden stout and stone, though, did you ever have that Master of Disguise? That was the weirdest beer to me.
It was a light golden coffee ale.
But it tasted like thick, kind of, I don't know, it just had like this... Like, you took a sip, and it blew my mind. Like, if somebody handed that to me, I would have sworn I'd open my eyes and see, like, a black...
It's also horrible beer. Dana Carvey movie.
And it was Master of Disguise. Yeah, I remember...
That was a pretty
I know what you're
one,
talking man. About. It looked awful. I can't imagine.
It's not good.
I'm so just amazed you watched it. This is good, though. Yeah, see, I like... I've never had, like, the coffee with the pill. I like it, because it's not, like...
That's saying it's not a...
It's definitely subtle.
It's just kind of subtle.
It's got the bitter
and
finish
actually,
on
all,
it.
You have to say, it's almost more like sitting here after taking a sip, just like the flavor that's in my mouth is like awesome.
So, and that was one of the things that I, like when I first heard about Dayman is that it was a coffee IPA. And I thought that was a bad idea because those are not typically flavors you'd find together. Mm-hmm. And Matt got a keg of it and I think I had 4 pints that night.
This was a good idea.
It was a big, like, enjoy by strength IPA that just had an underlaying of coffee to it. And it was perfect. For what they were doing, it was perfect because it was big hops up front and just a background of coffee.
Well, that's how this is to me.
And I'm actually trying to get a sip of coffee
and then, like, after you swallow it, you're kind of like, oh, there's some coffee
there's some
flavor.
A bit of coffee in
yeah,
there.
Yeah, I'm really excited to... I haven't gotten to try the Stone Enjoy by Valentine's Day yet, which is another coffee.
Yeah, I liked it.
And I want to try that. Yeah. I know it's coming on at the Fox soon, but
It was kind of like they put Mocha and Dayman into the same bottle, which I dig. I mean, if you like coffee, chocolate, and hops, that's your beer.
It's just such a crazy... Know? It's so weird, like, that... You always wonder, like, you know, what... Because it seems like every beer's been made, or all these styles, and then, like, when that came out, it's like, oh, look, somebody innovated, did something new, but it's like, are they just, you know, grasping, you know, here, and, like, trying to make something new, and that's like, everybody's like, no, you gotta get it, it's good. It's like, oh.
Every time I hear about an experimental beer, I always say out loud, well, I thought Dayman was a bad idea, and it was an amazing beer, so let's try it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, you want to get experimental, Jared? You wanna?
What's gonna happen?
You wanna play us some music?
Uh-oh.
Oh, phew. Just
oh, wait. Music's on.
Yeah. Well,
like that question. I don't.
Get us some drinks.
Get warm on this side of the table.
Experimental. What's happening?
Well, I mean, if we must. I mean, I'm a team player.
We have a band of the week. Jared has been our artist band of the week before when you were on the first time.
That's awesome.
And then you were just a guest the last time, but the first time you were on, we just played a couple studio cuts. You're actually going to perform live for us today.
Yes, indeed.
Bringing your A game.
Yeah, I'm going to play a song called Low Grumble off a record called Masters, which is coming out on March 3rd.
You have a new record coming out?
Yes.
Wow, I didn't even
I had
that.
No idea.
it's on the vinyls. As the kids call them.
No, they don't call them that.
The kids do, unfortunately.
That's not right.
But on vinyl, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
That's not right.
That would drive me nuts at co-op every time. Where's your guys' vinyls at? And I'm like, the vinyl's over there. Yeah. You know, like passive-aggressively correct
them. I'll put apostrophe in there.
Yeah. Yeah.
Awesome. All right, well, this song's called Low Grumble.
And we're live on Drunken Lullabies with Mr. Jared. The Pushman Grab.
Days have come, the only music to my ears is the low rumble. Don't you whisper, don't you finger picky, don't flick my trouble. Let the tracks of school go ahead and sing it hoarse and make that kick drum rumble. I let my mind go blank if I had a pint drink. I can't afford to stumble. And when there are so many things you can't afford, be it time, be it clothes, be the luxury of letting go. So search deep, search for a sound and for a tone. And when we roll upon that low, keep on moving forward. Don't you know this town needs change like a free man? Don't you know this town needs dreams like R.E.M.? What are we doing being weak, dependent? Like those suits up in that tie, the only pioneering spirit. Don't matter what I say, look up the job and money to be made. So let the city be reborn. Let the city be rebuilt, reformed by lowland and weary. There are so many things we can't afford, be it time, be it close. The luxury of letting go. We'll search deep, search for a sound and for a tone. And when we roll upon that low, keep on moving. And when there are so many things we can't afford, be it time, be it close. Be the luxury of letting go. We'll search deep, search for a sound and for a tone. And when we roll upon that low, keep on moving.
Hey, look, Blake's here.
And Brian. And Freckles. And I'm here, too.
All right. Well, thank you, Jared, for that awesome song. We will have more later in the episode. And that was fantastic, Jared.
Very nice.
That we just live broadcast that on Facebook for all the Drunken Maniacs to check out. If you didn't get to watch it live, it's still on the feed. So just rewatch it.
Internets.
What a concept. The interwebs.
Thank you, Al Gore.
We did like a live stream concert.
Built the internet out of his garage.
So what's our next beer, sir?
So the next beer we're going to do is called Mantra IPA, which is your...
Mantra.
What is your mantra?
I'm excited. The mandarina hops I'm excited about.
Yeah, this is a Citra Mandarina, i.e. Mantra. Because, again, I'm super creative. This is a American-style IPA with lots of Citra and Mandarina Bavaria hops.
Yeah, this is the one I've been looking forward to the most.
This is probably 10 days old.
Nice.
So,
man, I just took that last sip of that coffee IPA. It almost had, like, warmed a little just from me holding it. And it's weird because usually IPAs, or, well, pale ales, whatever, like, I like them when they're super cold. But, I tasted the coffee a little more.
Yeah, it's definitely evolved a little bit more since I tapped it. Like I said, it's probably I tapped this just a few days ago, but even that, even in that time frame, the coffee's becoming more and more prevalent in it. It's just coming out.
Interrupt you about the mantra.
So yeah, this is 10 days old. It's 10 days late, like Third Eye Blind for getting in my belly because you should. I need to.
It's gotta be so nice homebrewing when you can like drink something literally the day, like just the freshest IPA ever.
Yeah,
like, one time if I ever had that, my buddy picked up Zombie Dust the day it was bottled.
And yeah,
I
that's drank always on that fun. Night,
and I was like, oh my god, it's so awesome.
See, here's where I could get into trouble because when I see all of these East Coast IPAs that you guys drink, and it's like, I just pulled that off the bottom of my keg because I just kegged it, and it's like it'll eventually clear out though. So, I don't know. I wouldn't get me going off on that tangent.
Well, let's not. Let's just talk about
you
this
got the insider knowledge.
I do. I know how they're made.
Put some trim in there or whatever.
Really good.
That's really good.
That's really good, man.
This beer is actually an inspiration from a Pipeworks beer that a fellow
one of the fish line.
No, this is it was called Mandarina versus Citra.
Oh yeah,
or Citra versus Mandarina.
Yeah, and that was a good one.
Yeah, it's one of those combinations. Like Citra is this really aggressive hop by itself. Like
it is
pseudo Sue, Zombie Dust.
I've got a double dry hop pseudo.
Yeah, later. And that's you know it's a 100% Citra beer. Mm-hmm. It's one of those hops that piss me off at the same time that I can't not use it because it's a great hop by itself. It's got this huge complexity to it by itself, and the more you throw onto it, and when I had this this beer from Pipeworks, like Mandarina is a it's a German derivative. It's not that aggressive.
You're a German derivative.
I am actually.
I know. So name. Am I.
My last name is Bus. Yes. Yeah.
So I'm half German. I can smell my own.
Yeah.
But no, the I was surprised at how much the Mandarina went up against the Citra and just created this like ripe fruit and a little bit of pineapple and orange and citrus.
Really
and,
good.
Like all this.
Yeah. I only got like one bomber of it when it came out.
It's a really, really well-balanced beer.
Yeah, it's it turned out pretty good. I like I said, that
pretty good.
It was a 50-50 blend of just, you know, a couple ounces of Citra, a couple ounces of Mandarina Bavarian. You know, it just, it turned out really well.
I got a question for you. Have you ever entered any of your homebrew into, it, like, long shot contests or any kind of, like, you
so
know, any of the, I don't know what other ones, that's the only one I know of because of that Chad Beavers or Bevers.
A few years ago, well, I should say last year I entered Nationals and got my ass kicked.
Is that the same, is that like a, the name of the
contest? The National Homebrewers Conference,
okay.
They have a national competition
okay.
to where you can, they've limited it the last few beers, like, or last few years, that people were entering 50 and 60 beers
okay.
and just kind of lopsiding the results to their favor. And
yeah,
it, you know, you got to brew good beer regardless
yeah.
of how many put in.
Yeah. But still, if you put in that many and,
yeah.
and like two do well, people might be like, oh, this guy's amazing. You know?
Right. So, so there's an award called Ninkasi, which is the like top homebrewer. Like you made it past first round and you got the most points out of second round as well. Like you're top dog homebrewer in the nation,
okay.
you know, as when you, in this competition. And like the winner a few years ago submitted 66 beers, you know, I don't want to know his FedEx bill.
That's crazy.
Jeez. Yeah. It's like,
no,
so
shit. I see my FedEx bill just shipping like bombers.
No,
I can't imagine
it's
shipping
like
eggs.
Throwing everything against the wall and hoping something sticks.
Pretty
like
much. And yeah, again, you know, the guy made some really good beers that made it to the second round and they survived. And, but I will say, that, you know, Chicago needs to kind of, or the Chicago region needs to get its act together because I, three out of the four beers I submitted last year were all hoppy, and they didn't judge them for a month.
So, yeah, that's not good.
And they weren't cold the entire time either. So I was a little annoyed at that, but I will say that I entered the Abnormal Brewers competition a few years ago, which is hosted by the Abnormal Brewers Homebrew Club.
We did a live episode at last year's competition. It's called Abnormal Drinking. We had
and
White Oak on with us.
I want
well.
To say it was 2014 or 2015. I took home gold medals in pale ale and IPA.
Nice.
Did you get to stand up on the blocks and they put the medal?
No, it was. I thought about going to the judging ceremony because you can sign up to be a steward and kind of truck in all the beers, but I just sat like impatiently that night as they I knew they were judging and just kind of constantly refreshing. And yeah, I took gold for a Citra, almost a session IPA, but it was a Citra Mosaic Pale Ale.
Cool.
And then I entered my the busted IPA recipe and took gold medal for that as well.
Now,
awesome.
Last year they did with Distill and White Oak. The winners got to do a ramp up.
Mm-hmm.
Was that something that they did back then,
What's
or
that,
is that
like they
no?
Brewed something like a
no, because
or something?
Yeah, there's categories and then there's best of show.
Okay,
and then normally the category winners get submitted to best of show.
Gotcha.
I did not. I don't know the circumstances behind it, but I I just can't imagine, you know, the guys that did that, they made kick-ass beer.
Yeah.
You know, I mean,
how many different styles are in that? Like, I mean, there's many quite styles a few. Of beers I saw, there are, I imagine there's got to be like there 30 the checklist. Categories.
So they came out with a refined set of guidelines in 2015, and there are now over 60 different.
I believe. Wow. I mean, because think about it, you could have like a barrel-aged stout, a barrel-aged sour.
So there,
you know,
so and, in there, there's like a, there's a wood-aged beer. There's IPA has like seven subcategories. Mm-hmm. Sure. There's white, session. Red, black, session, all the, you know, they've kind of expanded it out because the styles are getting blurred now because it's not, you can't take, you know, something like this Montreux IPA and put it up against.
Art.
Exactly. Yeah. It's very much artistic.
Well, yeah, because if you put like a double IPA up against like a session, you know, I mean, they're made for two different reasons. Like one might be I want to drink one good beer tonight and the other might be like I want to drink six beers while I'm sitting by the pool, and it's not and really fair. One's going to have way more hop, you know, and
be well,
they're
just
not, they're not comparable.
Yeah, you can't,
you know, you
it.
Can't
yeah,
sit there and say, like,
guy.
You know, it's like taking
apples and oranges.
Yeah, it's like taking Dos Vidania and putting up against a Saison. They're not compatible.
Yeah,
you
exactly.
Know? You can't weigh one against the
other. And it's not fair
other.
To one or the other say one's better. It just might be like, well, this is better for.
Now, I will say that
I'm in the mood for. You
know? Most competitions do tend to do that when it comes to best of show. Is that they do take the category winners, and it's as objective as you can be in that realm.
Well, I watched the judging because, you know,
well,
like
would be
I said,
hard,
we
you know?
Were there doing an episode, and I think we had a more enjoyable experience because they're over there taking their notes and taking sips and stuff, and we're in the corner. Just drinking and talking and like just enjoy because basically they were doing the best in show. So what we got was the leftovers. They got second and third. That so we were drinking great
that's
beer,
awesome.
But it what they weren't being considered for like the finale,
right?
And
right.
So
right.
It was just like we have no idea who made this beer, but we're gonna drink it. It's this style and. Mm-hmm. It's like, I wish we could give you a shout-out, whoever made this. If you're listening,
well,
you know
that's
you.
That's
but
the thing, is that when you submit these bottles, they probably took the late. Like, you have there is a label.
They were all just numbers,
Well, that's the thing, is that there is a label, but they take that off because they want, you know, they want blank bottles, no markings.
Yeah. No favoritism.
On the cap, just, you know, to keep complete unbiased about what you're drinking.
Where is that normal based out of? Where is this held?
There, it's in Bloomington. Yeah, it's, I want to say that Brian Ballard at White Oak Brewing,
Tim Kleber, was on that episode. He's involved in it. But yeah, they've had this group for quite a while.
Oh, yeah.
And they do this competition.
There's a brewery called Abnormal Brewery out in, San Diego now or something. So at first I thought maybe it had something to do with them. They're, like, real big in the
well, it was
craft
funny,
beer scene.
While I was doing the show, there were some people that were still hanging out. And these two guys came up and they're like, did you drink that bottle? And I'm like, yeah. And he's like, okay, that was mine. I'm like, that was really good. Like, we wanted to say who it was made by. He's like, yeah, that was mine. I'm like, okay, well, listen to the show when it comes out next week.
Yeah.
We give you a nice shout out indirectly. But so it's like, okay, well, he knows we liked it.
Anonymity is key in those types of things. Just, you know, kind of keep it on an even keel. And, you know, I actually want to pursue my BJCP judge certification.
Okay.
Because that's like, you know, that's what a lot of those guys are national. Actually, they do have national judges, like guys that are qualified to judge on a national basis. Like you start out an apprentice and you slowly work your way up, and you know the national judges, those are guys that can literally be called anywhere to judge a competition for you.
They know what they're doing.
My palate's not that refined.
I'd love that job.
Speaking of unrefined things. Why don't we play a promo for one of the other shows on the FCF network? Let's fly the friendly skies with our friends, the Couch Pilots.
Ah, yes, it's Couch Pilots, the show that dares to fly into the unknown territory of awful television pilots of the past. Join Captain Blake Clayton and me, the Bottle Cap Kid, as we soar through the skies while discussing television shows that had one and only one episode. We'll dig into behind-the-scenes facts that may or may not be interesting, break down why it didn't work, unearth reviews from around the world, and provide our very own special brand of rating. So click a blue link, say hi to Tarmac John, and become one of our very own frequent flyers by subscribing in iTunes or your favorite podcast app of choice,
and earn points towards an array of surprise prizes. Check out new episodes every Monday, and don't forget to rate us, leave us a review, and tell a friend. And as always, we're proudly part of the FCF Network family of shows at fcfnetwork.com. Well, these pilots are usually rough, but it's always a smooth flight here on Couch Pilots. Thanks, everyone. Hope to see you soon.
Ah, yes. That was the Couch Pilots. I hope you check that show out every Monday, like me and all of my friends. It's a fun show. They watch failed TV pilots and make fun of it. And they now drink on the show because they want to be like Drunken Lullabies. It's a cool thing to do. They did it sober, and they're like, this isn't working. Let's get drunk while we're doing
drinking
it.
Drinking amps it up a little bit.
Yeah, just a bit. Well, let's drink some more, because that's what we are supposed to do. What do we got, Brian?
All right, so the last beer I got today is called Moonless Night Coffee Stout. This is, I actually made it with beans from 3030 Coffee.
Yeah.
He's a man after
my heart. Remember, do you remember what origin you used?
So, I do not.
Look at this coffee nerd.
Yeah, I was going to say, he's coffee nerding it up.
Only because, well, actually, you might know, there was an event that 3030 did.
Look at that. That's little
show. They did like a little cascade. Guinness-type cascade. That was like...
So there was an event that Left Hand did where they did a firkin
watch something your mouth.
With... they did a firkin with some 3030 beans, and at this event they were giving out free samples.
Yeah.
So whatever beans were in there, because I got them from a friend of mine.
Okay.
I knew any bean from 3030 is going to be well worth its weight.
Yeah,
so.
3030 does a great job.
How many ounces?
All their stuff is light on the lighter side as far as roasting.
What I've heard is they like do most
but
of the
but that man they I feel like they really know.
I honestly if memory serves me, I think it was an Ethiopian blend.
All right, so it was on the fruitier side, probably.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know how much you like? Was this a 5 gallon batch?
Was a 5 gallon batch.
So how many ounces of coffee was?
6 ounces of coffee.
Oh, man. So you don't have to use like that much coffee.
That's good.
To get coffee.
Not really. No. So there's many techniques, and I'm actually working on a newer version of this beer. That the first time I did it was I just popped these packages open and put them in the fermenter just as whole bean.
Wow, that is so good.
So
yeah, I think I already know what Jared's picking for the day.
Caramely sweetness or something after I taste it. Like, I mean, I don't know. It's just like this almost dessert like flavor after I took a sip. I mean,
well, that very well could be the coffee.
It's not like super bitter. Yeah, it could be the coffee.
Well, and I made it not very bitter.
Yeah, because I mean, I'm used to a lot of the coffee beers being a little more bitter, but I like that it's got like some sweetness with the coffee flavor. Now, do you?
But it's got some nice dark chocolatey.
Do you put the beans in whole, or do you like grind them up at all?
This one was whole bean. For the coffee pale ale we just had, I did grind them up.
How much, like, real fine? Because I feel like it'd be hard to get that out.
Okay, so you're brewing, you're not blending with a cold brew afterwards, you're actually fermenting with it.
Kind of. Like, just because during fermentation, like, it pushes off a lot of CO2. So any sort of, like,
That's carbon dioxide for you who don't know.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
During that, like late hop additions and hoppy beers, a lot of that stuff tends to get scrubbed off during fermentation, but it creates a good base for you. Now, I put this in right as I knew, the final gravity of the beer, the final, mark
final
of
countdown.
So you didn't put this in when you were doing the boil?
No.
Oh,
no.
Okay.
So how long are the beans sitting with the beer before you finish the batch?
This was 2 days.
Okay.
Yeah, 2 days. Really? Top of the, like I said.
You said whole beans?
Yep, just whole beans. Just I opened the packages and dropped them in there. And I mean, essentially steeped coffee beans at room temperature for a few days.
You could say they're now, cool beans.
Cool beans.
I don't know
cool
who invited
beans.
Them.
Cool beans. Cool beans.
Who invited this guy? But, no, I mean, it's, the tricky thing about doing stouts, and this is what I'm hoping, I'll get you guys a bottle on my new one coming out, is
awesome.
Water is a big key thing when dealing with 3030 coffee, which is why I like 3030 coffee so much, because they're the first coffee that I don't have to put anything in it. I don't need any cream, I don't need any sugar, I can take a cup of coffee from them and just drink it because their body's perfect, the flavor profile is perfect. Yep. That is a perfectly engineered cup of coffee.
They do really great.
I was a big
coffee in the big time.
I was a big time skeptical of coffee shops until I saw, I think it was actually Ty, do a pour over one time, and like I gained so much appreciation for that, because it, you don't think about
good. Is knows his stuff.
Well, you don't think about what goes into making a good cup of coffee, though. You know, I'm very primal when it comes to coffee.
They make those little designs on the top,
but when it's a good cup of coffee, I mean, that takes a little bit to make.
I'm trying to get our work to use 30-30 coffee. It's actually cheaper than the Starbucks we currently buy. But then I got people at work that are like, "I like this Starbucks. It's good." I'm like. Okay.
Support your local economy.
Whatever. Well, that's what I said. I was like, we can support a local shop.
Is it really that much more expensive? I mean,
no, the 30-30 is cheaper wholesale. I work in purchasing. I'm like, this is cheaper. And then, like, one guy in the department's like, oh, it's not always about if it's cheaper. I like the Pike that we get. I'm like, okay, why don't you try 30-30 stuff? Because it's definitely way better. Yeah. You know? But that's how some people are.
And that's weird that Starbucks would be more than a local coffee.
I mean, not if you were to buy it, like, at the coffee shop. But, I mean, with the amount we use at work, I'd be buying it in bulk, like, 5-pound wholesale bags.
Yeah, right.
So it's like, it's cheaper than us buying it how we do now. And we would support a local place. So I'm currently trying to work that. Yeah. And then, like, bring in samples slowly.
Yeah.
Till like people are like, oh, I like this coffee, and like, let's use all this.
One
coffee.
Thing I like about Brian's beers is he puts everything on Untappd, which not all homebrew.
Imagine that takes a little bit of time to keep up.
You know, Brutal Eric, his are up on there, but your Busted Brewing is on there with quite a few beers.
I use Untappd every 6 months or so. Yeah, I check.
Well,
in
and
here.
You said you're not creative. On the names, there's definitely some names in here that I like. Ivan Drago, that's a Rocky IV reference.
Yeah, never be able to go like production with that one because a clear trademark violation.
Okay. There could be so many of your beers.
Well,
yeah.
Remote
brewery.
Well, the great part is that in the tap room environment, you don't have to get label approval on something like that, so I can call it whatever I want.
Oh, so even if you were like a White Oak or something, and
it's just a matter of distribution.
It's only
right.
You have to sell it.
Yeah.
See, I didn't know that because I was like, that would be a real pain in the ass. Because you hear about like breweries now that they don't even mean to. They'll like come out with a beer, and it's like, oh well this brewery that is in just this one town, in Maine.
It's like band names,
and it's like,
you know, or the word beercade. Apparently,
it's trademarked.
What started that?
Okay, so there's this beercade in Chicago.
Yeah,
well, I've been. No, it's not Emporium because they're just called Emporium.
Okay,
it's this other place. You said headquarters.
I think it's headquarters,
beercade.
And I went there for when my buddy was in town.
And they sent our friends at 8-Bit in Peoria a cease and desist for using the word beercade in their name,
which surprises me that that could be trademarked.
8-Bit was opened before this place, but yet they sent them a cease and desist because
they
quote
the
unquote
or whatever
trademarked.
Yeah.
So there's been a little bit of a back and forth going on Facebook this week with some of our friends, kind of flaming and trolling this other
place. You probably don't even think I should trademark.
If it was
you know,
in Chicago, maybe.
It's see, like, then this is
Peoria.
This is the sad reality of the brewing business is that it is a business.
Yeah.
And that things like this will crop up. Now, it's up to the two entities involved to reach an amicable solution. And I'll bring up Russian River and Avery. They both put out beers called Salvation.
Yeah.
Instead of bickering and having a giant pissing contest over who owned it, they came out with a beer called Collaboration, not Litigation.
And you know what?
And they went and they didn't attack each other.
Yeah.
So they just said, you know what?
Yeah.
Fuck it. It's beer. It's one beer in their stables. They didn't go at it that way.
And they shouldn't because the band The Cranberries owns that name before their beers, guaranteed.
Well, so now you're getting into a different realm. But you know that's the sad part about it is that it is still a business.
That is cool
and
though. Unfortunately, to see two breweries kind of
like, it sounds
like
8-Bit
to confront it rather than like letting people even like letting even their fans run with it. They were we're just gonna cut this off and be like, you know what? No, there's good vibes.
8-Bit said like, can't we all just get along? You know, get along in their posts. It's like. Really? The word beercade that's been around for
the only way I could see it is in like in beer, it's like if there were somebody like a Bell's that, you know, they have a beer called Hop Slam and you know, it's you know, it's a very well-known name, and some small brewery comes out with a beer named Hop Slam and makes, like, a double IPA made with honey or something. If it's, like, the exact same style and they're trying to do it, you know, I could see that.
Yeah.
Because, you know, someone could say that, oh, they're trying to use the success of this other brewery, and maybe someone's confused at the store and thinks, oh, they're getting this beer.
Absolutely.
I get it for reasons like that, but, like, when it's, like, a Russian River and an Avery, like, I totally understand them being, like...
I mean, you're talking about
two huge breweries that they're already well off. They're not worried about, like...
Yeah.
If someone's buying Russian River, they're probably not like, oh, this, is this Avery selling?
Yeah, this is not going to... You know, that wouldn't break them.
Yeah.
And the fact that they actually collaborated together to come out with something...
It's super cool.
Just to kind of say, fuck off, it's not a big deal.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. You know?
Speaking of Russian River, I saw this weekend the beer that people will wait up to 8 hours in line for was available...
Pliny the Younger?
Pliny the Younger was available this week.
On draft, too. You should
gotta
say that.
Yes.
It's not even a beer that they can, like, take home and share with friends. It's to drink it on draft.
Yep, and that's... You
would you wait 4 hours in line for a beer?
For that one, I would.
Really? Because I was going to say, last time you were on, you told us...
It's a triple version.
You've been there. Didn't you...
Oh, yeah, I've been to Russian River twice. And and they are my favorite brewery on the planet.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where were they on...
Santa Rosa, California, about an hour from San Francisco.
Yeah. Awesome
Santa
sours, good IPAs.
And that's the thing, like, typically I wouldn't, and it's not like I'd ever go out of my way. If it just so happened, like, I was trying to plan a trip out there, and one of the available times, sure.
Gotcha.
You know, okay. I would definitely try to make it. Now, that being said, I've tried to clone, I've made an attempt at a clone before. Didn't go...
On the Younger?
Super well. Because that's a very tight-lipped recipe
they
have. I mean, you can go online and find recipes for Elder, no problem, from Russian River. Like,
nice.
Vinny's not shy about sharing that recipe.
That's cool.
Younger, on the other hand, I always love the story. A few years ago, there was a bar. I can't remember if it was Northern or Southern California, but they got a keg of Younger in. And they put it on their board as Miller Lite, and we're selling it for $7 a glass.
Yeah.
But they only broadcast it on Twitter.
Interesting.
About what it really was.
Yeah.
And so...
So wait, people really going in ordering Miller Lite were like, this don't taste right.
But anyway, but you're talking...
But if someone wants a Miller Lite, they're probably not going to pay $7 for it.
You're talking a hardcore imagine craft that. Beer market.
Are we opening them up for litigation here?
No.
Miller Lite's going to come
back. You know what? Let's nip it in the bud. How about we cut to another song from Jared before we get anybody in trouble. Jared, do you want to play another song? I'm assuming.
Yeah, I guess so.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, this song's called Low Ground... No, it's not. That's the first one. This song's called Goddamn Blessed Man. God... Damn, bless man, holding out his hands in the shape of a cup beneath a Russian fountain. Fountain of youth, fountain of life. He bathes, he drinks inside. Moments spent, moments shared, moments failed, moments tried. Moments loved, moments wrong, moments right. Moments warmed by his child, by his wife. He's a goddamn blessed man. He's a goddamn blessed. He's thanking the women. Thanking the man, he's thanking the circumstances he was raised up in.
another man philosophy. God damn blessed man, 'cause he's God damn blessed.
I like the little twang there at the end. So, is there anything you want to tell us about the song, aside from the title, or the song just speaks for itself?
It you know, plays to my favorite things of oxymorons in the title there and everything, and you know, I like it when you can't necessarily see what it's about at the front of it, and for me, it's become a song about being thankful, and yeah.
Well, we're thankful you shared that
ornery
song with us.
About being thankful.
Okay. There's nothing wrong with that.
Dig it.
All right. Well, thank you, Jared. You ready to drink some more beer?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. Jared, that was a great song, too.
Dude, you were kicking ass, man.
It's like you just make all good music or something.
Definitely.
We didn't put that one on Facebook. We let you just...
Impeccable music.
We just sat here and basked in the glow of your awesomeness. And then you did that little bendy note at the end, and I got all worked up. They heard it.
That's beautiful, doesn't it?
It is. Well, you know what else is beautiful? Something we like to call the Sponsor Spotlight.
Sponsor Spotlight.
Hip hop, hip hop. My voice is like a monster. And now a word from my sponsor.
Oh, we're doing that?
No.
I hope we were. I was like, that's fucking awesome.
I can leave it
we'll
in.
Do footy.
I love it. My opinion of you is so high until
Well, that was a tip of the cap. You know, Blake used to try to replicate that audibly, so I downloaded an
it's
app.
Hard to do.
It gives it.
That's awesome.
Oh, and oddly enough, at wrestling last night in LaSalle, we went to AAW. There was a wrestler named DJ Z, I believe, and the fans in attendance were doing that while he was wrestling.
That's awesome.
Doing the... So I got my phone out, and I was trying to play it, but it doesn't project well.
Yeah.
You know, so...
Did you record it with your phone is the more important.
Yeah, no, I didn't.
Should have brought your Bluetooth.
Well, it is time for the Sponsor Spotlight from Distill Brewery out of Bloomington Normal. This one I've been sitting on for a little while, waiting until Beermansky came back home and wanted to drink with us again. This is the Antiquity, which we've drank on the show, but this is the Bourbon Barrel Aged Antiquity. It's a special release. It's a rye wine style ale that is aged in oak bourbon barrels. It's a special release of the Antiquity Rye Wine Ale. It evokes memories of our grandparents' home laden with antique oak furniture, ornate woodwork, pipe tobacco, and toffee candles while sipping this dark copper ale that has a spicy, peppery note from rye, rich maltiness, oak character, and aromas, flavors like melted caramel, toffee, vanilla, sweet chocolate, and raisins in a full-bodied beer balanced by a dry, hoppy finish. Cheers. The IBUs are at 78, and the ABV is a lovely 12.1%. So this is, this is the Bourbon Barrel Aged Antiquity from Distill.
This is really good.
This is a really good beer.
Is it?
This is going to be my first time trying this variation.
It's like drinking honey. It's
you put whiskey in your honey?
Hmm.
Bourbon?
Why not?
I'll be the first to say I tend to get pretty critical about bourbon barrel aged beers because the bourbon barrel aged part is a very aggressive, upfront sort of character.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a really good brewer to be able to balance that with the base beer that you're putting it against. And this is right on that mark for me. Because it's great bourbon flavor, but there is a beer behind it. You're not just drinking a glass of bourbon. You know?
Yeah, if that was the case, I wouldn't like it.
Yeah, this is a really well-done beer.
Yeah, really balanced, sweet.
Yeah, it's definitely a sweeter beer.
Although I got to say, I particularly like the specific note of pipe tobacco.
Yeah, I had a great uncle.
Like, that is really specific.
A great uncle that always smoked a pipe, and I remember just liking that scent. It was like a cherry tobacco.
I love the smell of pipe tobacco. Because my mom used to work for a guy.
Yeah, my grandparents smoked cigarettes, which I didn't enjoy. When I would go spend the night at their house, and I would take my pillow and I would bring it back home, and then I would go to sleep at night, and I'm like, my pillow stinks. Like, I can't take my pillow to Grandma and Grandpa's anymore because it just smells like cigarettes. But my great uncle always had a pipe, and it's like, I like that. It kind of smells nice. If I ever smoke when I get older, I'm going to smoke a pipe. I don't. I've never smoked a day in my life. Still.
It would be really funny to see you smoke a pipe, though.
You think so? Like,
it'd be a good look for you.
Yeah. I just use it to, like, be a tag for my jokes.
Never even a left-handed cigarette?
No.
Really?
Nothing.
Wow.
Left-handed.
Look at you.
I like left-hand beer.
A left-handed cigarette? A joint? Weed? There you go.
What?
Drunken Lullabies does not support...
Who am I hanging out with
yes,
here?
Yes, we do. Legalize it.
We have our friend Hippie. We'll have him on for
tell
that
discussion. Tell me what your stance is when it's legal.
So, yeah, this is our sponsor spotlight. You know, a lot of times we have to double dip and do some of the same beers that we've featured before because...
There's only so many beers.
Yeah, we do this weekly. You know, that would require 52 different beers... A year.
Yeah, distill, step it up. Brew us 52 new beers.
Well, I mean, if we were doing shows on location, doing, like, draft stuff, that could maybe be doable. Yeah.
I was about to say, I heard an interview from the guys, like, early on when they were first getting started, and they had knocked out, like, 50 styles in a year.
Yeah. I mean,
but
they're
busy over there. Most of it being...
It's like, here's a one-off batch.
Exactly.
Yeah. That's OG Stash doing his thing in the restaurant.
Right.
OG Stash.
OG Stash, Mr. Mark Tilly, shout out. Double A in the crew at Distill. Jared really likes this one. The Pusha Man is taking the dregs.
We got also like a couple less beers than the Plains Tamer Stars episode.
Yeah, that happens. Nobody's going to...
This is the perfect amount.
Do you want to do the
like four and a sponsor.
Couple Whitman.
Garrett had you like raiding your... cupboards and
he did. He was like, dude, you got any more? Like, he was a thirsty son of a bitch. And that episode turned out pretty well.
I don't know. I've been on since, but Distill, when me and my wife got married, they allowed us to come in and take our engagement photos.
Yeah, we talked about it. I think the first time you were on, because we were sponsored back then.
Okay, all right.
Cool. And yeah, we actually brought that up and that gave them a nice shout out because, that was super cool.
Super
I remember
cool.
seeing
yeah,
the
yeah,
photos.
They, yeah, that was completely awesome. They were more than welcoming to us, and Kate Tilly was, she was absolutely perfect.
Is there only the one location of Distill over on the Parkway?
Well, I mean, they have their brew pubs in Champaign and Bloomington. Yes. They also have a production brewery, but...
And very soon, coming in the springtime, right off of I-55, next to Menards...
There you go.
There's going to be a huge brewery over there.
We're going to be doing a show
That'll
be
there
opening, and then eventually the little when they open. Will be opening.
Cool.
It'll be fun.
Tap room, too.
Yeah, you won't... Because right now, the production brewery is not really open to the public. It's just they make the beer there.
Yep.
Granted, we may have special
access.
If you're
a baller, you might have been there
we get to go in and just, drink and whatnot.
Might have had some
right
straight out of
the
barrel, pull a bunghole
out
and try it. Whatever, though.
But,
there'll be no bunghole pulling.
But otherwise, you have to go to the restaurant. And the restaurant... attracts a different demographic.
It doesn't feel like when you go to a brewery. I mean, it's
exactly.
so cool.
And that's what's going to be different
about
this. But
that's what'll be feel cool about the new one is it'll feel
this
like
is going to be where I go
brewery.
To hang out.
Yeah.
But that is where I feel Distill is kind of excelling a little bit. It's kind of bridging that gap between, you're right, it doesn't feel like a Three Floyds or, you know, something, you know, that place that's uniquely them. Like it's a bridge to kind of bring some more people over to that. It's inviting. It's a very beautiful place. Mm-hmm. Like especially in the brew pub in Bloomington. Yeah. It's very well laid out.
It's right off the interstate too. Because even like people from Chicago, if they want to come, and you're coming down 55, I mean, or if you're from Joliet or Southern area Chicago, it's not out of the way to make
here,
a day
here's
trip,
what I'm hoping, because White Oak, our friend brewmaster Brian with a Y, they're in the process right now of finishing up their tap room and everything. Mm-hmm. So we're going to have a brand new distill facility. Mm-hmm. We're going to have White Oak.
Little Beaver,
once they're
cool
open,
that Bloomington's,
there's
going to
be three solid breweries in the Blono area.
That is super awesome.
Right in the middle of the state. So yeah.
And I love that central, anything south of Chicago will be represented, even though like I shared that article one day in our local beer forum that like Wall Street Journal had some article about distill, and they always call
them
Chicago brewery distill. I'm like, no, give downstate some love. Like Chicago gets enough recognition for all their breweries. You know, because that'll be, you know, that is pretty cool that we're gonna have like three, like what I feel are like very solid breweries in central Illinois.
Exactly.
I mean, that's pretty sweet.
When I was traveling a lot in my 20s, I had people ask me, they're like, "Oh, so you're from Illinois, is that anywhere near Chicago?" I literally got that question. I was like, yeah, it's close.
Illinois is not far from Chicago. 400 miles of rest of the state, but why get into semantic argument?
We drove 4 hours south to get to Scratch few weeks ago, and we're in the middle of the state.
Well, that's why I say.
What do you guys think of Scratch?
Brianna's off mic, but I'll just speak for her. She said that was the best brewery she's ever been to. Like, environment-wise.
Yeah. So
and everything.
Cool.
I knew it would be right in her wheelhouse. This is like, it's outdoors, and they use...
They're the Jester King of Illinois
to their grounds and the beers and stuff. The beers themselves are kind of out there. We both agreed, we shared a flight, that's the way to sample a lot of those beers. Would I drink a full 16 ounces of most of those? Probably not. But doing a 4 to 5 ounce sample was perfect.
And for me, I can totally appreciate the way that they make their beers, because they are that sort of out there brewery that's not playing in the traditional guidelines.
That's
no,
what I like
they're
about
doing
them.
Their
it's
own
it's
thing.
Just something different.
It is. I've had a few up at Poor Brothers that have just, it's nothing like I've ever had.
Did you have the Hickory?
I did have the Hickory.
See, I had that one, and that's what, to me, it was just...
I loved
it. It's not even that it's like it's... the most amazing beer I've had. And that's not a knocking. It's my like them. I think they're solid beers. To me, when I'm drinking it, it's just so cool because I'm drinking it going... It's not like drinking, some barley wine. I could be like, well, I've tasted this barley wine. And I'm drinking this Hickory and it's like, I've never had anything
that flavor profile
this.
Has never
it's
hit your palate.
Exactly.
Last
totally
week,
unique.
We
yeah,
drank
cool.
the Blackberry Lavender on the show.
Yeah.
That we brought a bottle back up with us and we shared that with Tyler and Brandy. And yeah, that was a really good beer. And again, it's a sour.
And
so
it's all locally
need
for anyone listening, everything they get is locally. They brew their beer with locally like forage ingredients.
A lot of it from their own property.
Yeah, they have like a 40
a lemongrass
or
basil IPA.
Yeah.
That's not something you're going
to
find.
Beer's made
places.
With mushrooms. I mean, I'm trying to think of anything.
Yeah,
anything.
And that thing, like they're.
Hickory. I mean, a hickory tree. You know what I mean?
That's I had one of them.
Sumac as well.
Sumac. That was the one I had recently. I think that's a smoke beer, isn't it?
I'm not sure. It was berries. I think it was like a sour.
There is a smoke beer that they put out that was just, it hit me and it was like, I have never experienced this flavor.
Is that the one we drank? That's the coolest part to me is you're just drinking it and it's just it's a whole new flavor that you've never.
We may have drank the Sumac on the show.
I don't
remember. We drank both of them in the past week.
But it's
Freckles
just,
and I just shared one of them by ourselves. The other one we shared. So could have been the Sumac. Could have been the Blackberry Lavender.
It's just so uniquely them though.
Yeah.
Like they are putting their footprint in the market as this is what we do.
Yeah.
And it's
you
hard
may
to
not
stand
like
out
it.
In craft beer.
If you don't,
yeah,
that's
for sure.
Exactly.
It's not
the industry
easy
is growing so much that it comes down to you could probably put two identical beers from different breweries in front of somebody, but likely they're going to choose the one that's more local to them. Why? Who knows? It's much more of a regional local thing now that again going back to my point of it being a business that sooner or later some people may die off.
Yeah.
Yeah. If you're looking at pure,
it's already happening.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there are some
recipes.
Yeah,
arcade.
I say arcade ale syndicate. Yeah, I mean, yeah. The market can only sustain so much. You know,
but you know, Michigan Brewing Company. I mean, they went defunct because they had shitty management. You know, they didn't run their business very well. You know, and that's
you could be making good beer, and you could have people.
If you don't know, we're good
beer brewers, but if you don't know how to run a business, it's still a business.
You're gonna go down. Yeah. If not, just stay in your basement making your shit, man.
Also, Scratch, most comfortable T-shirt I own. It's like my new go-to T-shirt.
Oh, shit, I should have.
Okay, here's the thing. Like, the White Oak shirts, very comfortable. Our own T-shirts, the Drunkomaniac T-shirts, which I still have a few available. If you want one, contact me at drunkenlullabiespodcast@yahoo.com. I will mail one out. I mailed one out recently this week to our buddy Matt from Chicago, who was promoting our show on Reddit. So thank you, Matt, for doing that.
But he's how comfortable dude. Is he's that Drunkomaniac T-shirt?
It is pretty fucking comfortable, but I gotta say, the Scratch T-shirt... It's not scratchy, it trumps it. It's smooth. It's like a poly
urethane,
rylon,
it's a nice silk,
plastic,
cotton.
You got a double X
silk scratch t-shirt.
Do we?
Yeah.
We did on the pre-order, but somebody didn't pre-order one. The double X cost extra, so I didn't get a bunch of extras.
I got one for Brody. I think I got a triple X.
You got a triple.
Brody. That's right. Yes. Brody got a triple X. Well, I'll say, wait, he's not a double X.
You know what? We're talking about the Drunkomaniac T-shirts. Why don't we have a little bit of what we like to call Drunkomaniac mail?
I'm into it. Oscars in paradise, saying, I want you, you send me.
Oscars in paradise, yeah, you do. All right, so yeah, last week I read some Drunkomaniac mail, and we've got another email from one of the Drunkomaniacs, Doug. Second time he's getting a shout-out in 2 weeks. He just said, I'm digging the podcast, dudes. I like the segment on the show when you ask new guests their favorite breweries, first craft beer loves, and local watering holes. Just a suggestion for the show. Maybe ask new guests about their favorite unsung band and or first concert. Keep up the good work, hey. Doug. Here's the thing.
We've had both these guys.
We've had
those questions.
Exactly. Does that not work out?
That works out well.
So we've already done.
And if you want to know what their favorite,
go back and listen to their first appearances.
If you want to hear all that, yeah.
I believe Brian's was called Take Two.
That
was
amazing that you
the show that we had to record twice with our friend Nearly Silent Nick.
Yeah.
Also, the first time we drank Odell Brewing. On the show, which I chugged earlier. Pushman, Jared's first show. We did in the Love Hole with Gangsta Nick.
That's right.
It was our longest show to date until last week. We topped it. I can't remember the name of it. It was a long one, but
I
look.
I can't remember.
Just search for the long episode.
Yeah, search for the long episode. So, Jared, what bands are piquing your interest? You're in the indie scene. You're an indie musician. You're doing your thing. You go to shows. You're getting ready to go on tour.
Which
we were going to mention later.
Going doing a lot of stuff. Going down to Texas and up through Colorado.
We got Drunkomaniacs all over the country.
Over to Treefort Music Fest in Boise, Idaho with like Angel Olsen and a ton of other good people. And
go see the Pushman when he's in your town.
Yeah, going to be traveling.
So what are some bands that are on your radar right now?
I've been listening to a lot of Austin Lucas's new record and John Moreland's new record.
John Moreland's
which
great.
Are both kind of alt country guys.
Mm-hmm.
POS just came out with a new record.
Yes,
he did. Hip hop stuff out of Minneapolis.
Formerly on Rhymesayers, now he's on Doomtree.
He's awesome. My buddy Namdi out of Chicago.
How do you spell that for anyone?
NNAMDI. And I can't spell his last name, but it starts with an O.
That's probably enough. That's enough. Spell the first name online. I'm sure you'll find it.
Yes. He just has a new record coming out that's also kind of this weird hip-hop stuff out of Chicago. He used to play in a band called Edo that my band's played with a lot in Chicago. It's just awesome. He did some amazing video sessions up there. Looming is a band based out of Springfield,
but now
slash
Texas.
Austin, Texas slash Pittsburgh. And they're fantastic. I'm going to get to hang out with them while I'm on tour at South by Southwest.
I have a signed vinyl copy of their last album.
Really excited about that. Like, I love those guys.
Originally, they were going to be on the show.
Guys and lady.
Yeah, and then she moved.
And then, I mean, moving happens.
Yeah. One of them wasn't old enough to drink, so we're not going to have underage drinking on the podcast.
I'm listening to a lot of music, but that's a new Run the Jewels.
Oh yeah, dude, you were telling me about
you throwing out Run the Jewels.
No, he told me the day it came out at work. He's like, dude, the new Run the Jewels is great.
Christmas Day,
look
man.
At this guy. What about your first concert? New Run the Jewels. Remember that? As many shows as you've been to.
First concert was Fast Food Revolution in. At Crazy's, which was by the where's Bartonville? Where the insane
where
asylum?
Is Bartonville? It's right across the river.
No. Where the old insane asylum was.
That's Bartonville.
Okay.
It was Bartonville.
Stone Country.
Like, yeah, what Stone Country now was a place called Crazy's in 1994, and that was
your first show. Was like an indie. Show?
Yeah, yeah,
really?
Like definitely. That's crazy. Like going to like
you didn't. Mine
DIY
was a
stuff.
Country concert that my parents drug me to.
I mean, I probably went. I think I saw Kingston Trio on the river.
Oh wow!
What, Kingston Trio? I love Kingston Trio, dude.
Some
scotch
some
and soda
commercial muddy jams.
Baby, do I feel high? Oh me,
but how about you, Brian?
Yeah, Brian, you big music guy.
I am, but I'm still stuck in my past a little bit.
Okay, here's the thing. How old are you?
36.
Okay. There was an article, and I talked about this with some friends of mine on their podcast. Once you hit age 32, statistically, you are much less likely to seek out new music. You stick with what you know, and you pretty much just listen to that and don't explore. I know I'm a bit of an anomaly because I worked at a record store.
If it weren't for Spotify, I might not. They have
right.
that Discover Weekly.
Oh, it's
and
great.
That's like what
we
I
talked
do
about it last
week.
Week.
That's how I find like all my new music.
And a lot
that's
of bands of the week.
Yeah, exactly. We find they came up on that.
So let me expound
Spotify.
On that a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
It's not a fact that I don't pursue new music. It's that the new music that I've heard
doesn't meet up to the... What
because
like.
I grew up in, I mean, my formative years were the 90s. I was born in 1980. And like, to
you
me...
You love Ace of Base. And it's not...
Who doesn't?
It's
he
not
saw the sign.
It.
Well,
yeah.
he saw the sign.
It opened
sign.
Up his mind.
We all do at some point. But, and then, oh man, this could spawn a bigger conversation. Is that I feel that the great American rock band is dying. That there are not a lot of bands anymore. When you look back to the 90s and Stone Temple Pilots, Pearl Jam, Nirvana, like all these bands that had a place in the cultural shift of music away from the 80s hair band bullshit, which I'm still a huge fan of. I don't give a fuck.
Oh, yeah,
I've
love,
got lots
I love
of
that.
Poison. And
dude,
Motley
I love
Crue.
It. Yeah,
I don't
hell
care.
Yeah. Why not?
But it's like a lot of those bands, and even like my last favorite rock band was probably Velvet Revolver.
Okay.
Just I saw them in concert. They were that epitome.
Guns N' Roses
just,
with Scott
Weiland.
On
and I saw them in concert, and they actually did a couple songs from the Pilots and Guns N' Roses, and I felt like I was watching Guns N' Roses.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, it was just and the Pilots. Yeah. It was just, you know, that good American rock. I feel like there's one good American rock band left.
Foo Fighters.
Yes.
Okay.
And that's dead serious. Like,
they put on 3-hour concerts.
I would stand stand very far from this opinion as somebody who's like very into like
you
rock
are
roll.
Much more plugged
but like,
into it.
But
than
at the same
I
time, I feel like what you're seeing with beer and craft beer and this kind of like move towards people doing things that they're perfectly happy with being on the fringe.
Yeah.
Because the market's big enough.
Yes. Yes.
Has happened with music as well, rock music as well, where it's like, I feel like the best things happening in rock music are at the fringe versus like what you're talking about are like the people who
totally
wrote that center,
that.
You know?
Yeah, what you
and,
hear on the radio.
And I think that, you know, but there's still the greats that are in the center. I mean, it's
oh,
like
sure.
I'm reading the book that just came out by Bruce Springsteen right now that's like his Born to Run book, and it's amazing to read about like. well, see, to read about those people doing that stuff, and I will say that I liked Velvet Revolver better than either of their previous bands. So I mean, like,
there's a good argument for it. I mean, but here's what I'll say: is that it all comes down to what your passion is. Clearly, your music. Clearly, I'm beer.
Yeah,
you will seek out that.
I'm both.
You know, you
and wrestling.
In wrestling. You'll seek that band out.
Yeah, digging. Yeah.
I'll seek that beer out.
Yep.
You know,
yep,
totally. I may never wait in line for it, but I, you know, if there's some place that has a tap room that is off the beaten path, I will go look for it.
Well, and it's also, you know, if you know the right people and you're plugged in, you might not have to wait for it.
And that's kind of...
Is that with music? It's that way with beer? It's that, you know.
When I was developing the podcast, you know, and they were like, hey, we want you to do your own show. And I'm like, okay, what should I do it on? It's like, what am I into? Well, I'm into beer, like craft beer. Okay, I'm really into music because I run a record store. It's like... Yeah, those are like two things that can intersect. You know, people are passionate about both of them. Some are passionate about both.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and I think it's worked really well doing
to go back to you're talking about in the fringe. It's only fringe people that only deal in just music is that central point of their life. The vast majority have so many different interests.
Mm-hmm.
You know, music and beer... Fuck yes, that goes together.
They usually go hand in hand. Yeah. When you go to a concert, you're enjoying beer. Yeah, and now we can drink good beer
when we go to concerts. I remember...
The fact that I can go on tour and play breweries now try...
Yeah, yeah. Think about how many breweries
I'm playing a brewery in New Mexico, in Taos, New Mexico. And
if you want to bring us a growler back, we'd be more than happy to feature it.
It might not be fresh by the time it gets back.
I tell you what, man. I remember being... this was 2005, me and a buddy were hanging out on the Sunset Strip, and we went and saw a Led Zeppelin cover band,
mm-hmm.
and they had Sierra Nevada Pale Ale for just as much as what a macro beer cost.
Yeah.
So I'm drinking fucking Sierra Nevada and listening to Led Zeppelin.
Yeah.
Which
is
still a solid pale ale.
This was 13 years ago.
Back then, that was like really good.
You know, I mean, but again, I'm listening to a guy that sounds like Robert Plant.
Yeah.
You know, it's my version of Led Zeppelin. I was born the year John Bonham died.
Yeah, so Zeppelin's gone.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jason's not going to be a replacement. I saw Foreigner and Def Leppard and Tesla.
Best seven arms in rock.
Up in... up in the Quad Cities, and they had Green Tree, which is a brewery out of LeClaire, Iowa, that Freckles and I have been to twice. They had them on draft for the same price as Bud Light and Budweiser. I'm like, fuck yeah.
Yeah. I mean,
I will be drinking their IPA all night long.
Yeah. Well, you know,
but I definitely want more venues around the country to be picking up craft beer because I do feel like there's that community, like, there's obviously the thing with punk rock and like stuff that I'm like around where it's like Pabst and I love Pabst as much as the next
PBR.
Guy.
PBR,
know your roots,
you know.
I love PBR,
but it's awesome to have, you know, your cheap Pabst and also have awesome crap beer. And
it's almost like the small guy.
It's like I will trade in, I will trade in multiple tickets to get that, like,
you know, to kind of bring it to
a bit of a bigger scale.
Like I can go to a Cardinals game and I can get Urban Chestnut.
At
a Cardinals game.
Which is awesome. Cool.
Like, you can walk to Fort Hands before and drink some good beer, too.
What's that, Fort Hands?
You can walk to Fort Hands before the game and drink some good beer, too.
They like, open just for, like, Cardinals games and stuff.
Yeah.
Some of the other shack, like, outside the brewery, we can, like, get a...
And me and my wife are such nerds that we will go looking, like, which concourse is the Urban Chestnut.
Yeah.
Just because we love Urban Chestnut.
Because they own Schlafly now, or do they? Or maybe it's just because it's in St. Louis. AB, like...
No, they don't.
They don't, it's just because it's St. Louis?
It's so synonymous. Okay. With them, like, you know,
well, but I say,
Schlafly.
I know I had Schlafly. Even having a Schlafly, like, I was at a Cardinal game.
Yeah,
and I was like,
exactly.
I was like, okay, so I can pay, you know, $2 more or whatever and get the Schlafly as opposed to the Budweiser. Sure, you know, and half the time the craft beer is stronger anyway. So if you're looking at it from a drunkenness point of view, working out about
it. And that's what we focus on here at Drunken Lullaby. What will get you fucked up the fastest? And that's what we recommend.
It's a good way to look at it, though, when people give me
economic.
I was at the House of Blues paying $10 for a 19-ounce can of Dave's Pale Ale while everyone else is paying $9, a dollar less for a 24-ounce Miller Lite of Bubba. Oh, I'm getting 5 more ounces. I'm like, yeah, and yours is like 4%, mine's like 7%. Yeah. I'm like, it's working out about even.
It's called,
never underestimate and I'm cost drinking something good.
Analysis. Yeah,
it's exactly. Never underestimate it. Well, you know what? I think it's about that time.
From me to holla.
No, it's not that time.
No? Okay,
not it's that time for us to make our picks of the week.
Yep.
Okay, so our picks of the week. Jared, I kind of think.
It's not going to be easy.
You're going to be wrong. You're going to be wrong.
Uh-oh. What? I'm going to be wrong?
Yeah, you're going to be
what
wrong.
What is the picks of the week?
This is where you pick your favorite beer that we drank on the show, which most of them were yours. So you're going to have to do a sole choice.
You're like the guy who entered 60 beers in the local competition.
And just so you know, I take it personally.
Okay.
Okay, just keep it.
All right.
You're okay, so Dustin, you were gonna say that my pick would be the coffee stout.
Yeah, because you like got an audible boner as soon as we poured it.
But my pick is actually the Mantra IPA.
Really?
Yeah, which I never pick IPAs.
I know, right?
I'm not an IPA guy. The Citra Mandarina IPA is so good.
I appreciate that.
Really well balanced.
Blake,
this is tough for me because I'm a big stout guy, but honestly, like. I loved the Saison, but I will say it's not my pick. But the Mantra, the coffee, pale ale, and the coffee stout were all, like, almost equal to me.
Yeah.
And
you have to pick one.
I know.
It's called Picks of the Week. That's not like you get Picks of the Week.
I don't know.
It's all-encompassing Picks of the Week.
It's so hard because between all of them, and even though I'm stout, I think I go with the Mantra IPA. I really, really enjoy
that. That's actually, that's my choice as well.
It was really good. I really liked it.
The Mantra IPA, which that's not a surprise to anybody in this room. That's
no, I knew that would be yours almost. I totally thought it would be the stout.
So, Ryan, it's up to you now. What's your pick of the week? Are you going to pick one of your own, or are you going with the Sponsor Spotlight?
In all seriousness, I'm going to go with Sponsor Spotlight.
Okay.
Just because this is a very big beer that is a huge profile that is incredibly balanced. Like, I could only hope to make something of this caliber
someday. You got some barrels?
Yeah, I do not, but...
You can get them. They're kind of expensive, from what I hear.
But seriously, like, these are the beers I truly enjoy because, again, it's a very high alcohol, very complex, like, it's just, it's this amalgamation of perfect that it's it is barrel aged, but it's also got a very good base beer behind it.
And it's 12.1%.
Well, true. Yeah. But to me, that adds to the complexity.
That's volume.
But it just, it... To make something of that high alcohol and have that sort of character to it, that's
like drinking a brewery beer. Like, I love those guys.
That's an art form.
Because to me, like, when these guys make a beer that's like 19 or 20% and it's not shtick, like, they're drinking beer. Like, when I open a Mocha Wednesday and I'm like, oh my God, there's so much coffee flavor. It's like fudgy. It's this.
Yeah.
It's like,
how
do you make a beer that's that strong and it's not just like all burning? Like, oh,
if you would like to hear what happens when you drink 4 brewery beers in a row, you can listen to an episode we recorded about a year ago.
It's not good.
It's called Derailed by Tangents. Is that the one? Derailed by Tangents?
I think that is it.
Okay.
Yeah.
We
went off on a lot of tangents.
So embarrassed.
The wheels fall off very, very much.
We could not keep a hand. It wasn't even me and Dustin's fault.
No,
we couldn't keep the rain.
It was Phil. It was Hippie.
We told Phil and Hippie, don't drink before this episode.
Drunk Landy showed up ready to perform. Yeah.
And they show up and they're like,
lit.
I had some beers. I'm like, no, this is not what you should have
I was
done.
Drinking double digit stouts before I came over.
Somebody's like, I had to plead the fifth and something else. I'm like, why?
And Phil's like, we had shift beers, man.
These beers are strong enough.
No. But, you know, it's on tape. You can hear it. You can hear how far we've come in a year. All right. Well, I think that's going to about wrap it up for this week. This was a fantastic episode. Jared, thank you for being our artist of the week, as usual. We're going to pose for a selfie right now as we're wrapping up the show. And do you have any plugs you would like to make?
February 24th, which is a Friday,
I'm having a private event, whatever, pre-sale only online ticketed event at Midnight Espresso with awesome guy Evan from Intuit Over It.
Yeah.
Is playing with me for my record release show in Peoria. He's been on like Jimmy Kimmel and he's awesome.
Yeah.
He's like the king of like the current wave of whatever, the emo revival.
Emo. Yep, yep.
But he's awesome. So he's playing with me for the record release show for Masters on February 24th. March 3rd, the record comes out. You can buy the LP online now from sosaywealrecords.bandcamp.com. Yeah, I'm just really excited.
That people know like that you're gonna be at. I mean, if you know, throw out like a couple regional festivals.
Yeah, well, I'm playing South by Southwest in Austin, Texas. I'm playing a party at Hard Luck Lounge on March 14th. A party at a house on March 15th.
You're gonna play a house party with like Kid and Play?
Yeah, dude.
Awesome.
I mean, I can only.
What's
hope.
The Boise, Idaho? Is
I like, just assumed when they said house party, they were gonna be there.
You are gonna grow your hair out, right?
is that a festival in Boise, Idaho that you're playing?
And then
to?
Tree Four Music Fest in Boise, I'm playing as well.
Where can everybody find your
dates? I'm playing shows all the way in between all that stuff, so it's 20 plus shows that I'm playing over the whole month of March. Facebook, Jared Grab with an extra B, and it's got my stuff up there with tour dates and
that's
everything.
That's JaredGrabb. Just making sure, because some people
might
see
you
JARROD.
Thank you. Yeah, I appreciate
you said
that.
An extra B.
That.
I already know how to spell your name, so I was going to put three Bs on there.
Yeah.
And that would not take me where I need to
that
go.
That's like when I used to work at the bar, and this guy would come in and be like, I'm Rob with two Bs. Not that it mattered. Like, I would stop and I know. Like,
Robabub.
Hey, Rob.
Would you like to drink?
No joke. So after that day, I always called him Robabub. Like, because I'm like, why do I need to know you have an extra B in your name, Rob?
I'm Jared Grabab. Check out my music. Yeah.
Blake, do you have anything you would like to promote?
The
fetus that's growing
in
your wife?
Yeah, my wife is pregnant. Looks to be a boy.
Looks to be.
We're not official. She just was 13 weeks, 4 days, had a sonogram.
Okay.
And, I don't know. When does this come out? Hopefully.
This comes out next Sunday.
Well, so whatever. I don't know if she cares if I'm telling people, but it looks to be a boy. But it's not 100% certain. It's one of those things where the lady doing it was like pretty sure, but she's like, it is.
Hey, you know
weeks.
What? They thought
they
Drew was
normally 20 weeks.
They thought Drew was a boy at first, and then we went back another time, and I was like, that
just
is
a toe,
not a boy. Yeah, that's a girl.
But yeah, that's all I got from Mel. And my good friend Jared Grab is going to be on tour. Check him out. All
right.
Dang.
Brewmaster Brian, got any, where can people find you or Busted Brewing online?
We've got a Facebook page for Busted Brewing Company. We also got an Instagram account at Busted Brewing.
How do you spell Busted?
And as I say,
B-U-S-T-D, not
STD.
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 Yes. B-U-S-T-D.
And then we've also got a, we are an Untappd. And
Bradley University Sexually Transmitted
Diseases. Yes, there we go. That's exactly what he wants to be known. He's like, fuck
marketing.
Marketing
just writes itself. Good grief. You know, all I'll say is that with all the talk of something coming to Bloomington, hopefully something comes to Peoria.
Hey, we would be cheers all
that.
For that. Anything I would like to plug, Flannel Mouth, tonight, when this show comes out.
Okay, I thought you meant tonight, so I'm like, it's a little late.
No. If you're listening to this on Sunday like a loyal Drunkomaniac, when you wake up, it's the first thing you want to play because you want to get drunk at your Sunday mornings. They're having a farewell show for Zach, the guitar player, violin player, jack of all trades. He is moving to Florida.
I think we're still recording.
Yes, we are.
And he's going away. So this is going to be the last show they're playing for a little while. So come out to Rail 2. I believe it's a free show. So you can just spend the money on beer. They have some good beers available there. And yeah, go see our buddy Flannel Mouth Tyler. Do his thing on the drums. Feel free to email us at drunkenlullabiespodcast@yahoo.com. We will feature you on our next edition of Drunkomaniac Mail. You can also look us up on Facebook at facebook.com/drunkenlullabiespodcast. You can send us a message on there. I'm pretty good about getting back to people. And we're on Instagram at Drunken Lullabies Podcast. So follow us, share the posts with your friends, spread the word. We're trying to grow the Drunkomaniac Nation, and, you know, we're just doing our thing. We're having fun drinking beers, and we hope you guys enjoy it. So I'm going to sign us off here for the week, and next week, stay tuned. We got
it's
a
good
very
to be back.
It is. It's good to have you back. Next week you're going to be gone again, but we have a fantastic we have a fantastic episode coming up that I recorded in LaSalle, Illinois, with a couple wrestlers from AAW that I mentioned earlier, and a wrestler from NWL, STL. I'm going to sit down with Mr. Mike Hartenbauer and Christian Rose, and we're going to talk beer, we're going to talk wrestling, and we're going to have a fun time. So we hope you check that out in a week. So until then, may your music be loud and your beers be cold. We will see you, Drunkomaniacs, in a week.
Cheers.
This has been a Fakakta Comedy Funhouse production, produced by Dustin Wyckoff, executive produced by Blake Clayton. For more information and content, go to fcfnetwork.com.